Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome on to AANBC Radio. I am your host, Miss Anna Black, and it's good to be back. I don't get to do the show as often as I would like anymore because my work schedule is so hectic. So no matter how I try to switch the dates around, it usually interferes with the show. So I'm glad to be back on tonight after not being on for like a week and a half. We're going to be with Miss Sharon Monet tonight. She's going to talk about her novels, and also she has a stage play that's due to premiere this September, so I'm excited to talk about that. But she is the author of My Side of the Story and Living, Laughing, and Loving My Way Through. In a moment, we're going to just bring her on to introduce her and get to know her. But before we do that, we do want to give a quick shout-out to Ms. Tamika Newhouse. She is the founder of AANBC. Without her, there will be no AANBC Radio, so we always want to give a shout-out to Ms. Tamika Newhouse. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and introduce our guest tonight. Ms. Sharon, if you can hear me, say hello and welcome on to the show.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for coming on. Before we get into talking about the author, Ms. Sharon Monet, we want to get a little history from you, a little background, like where you're from, marital status, do you have kids? Tell us a little bit about yourself before you started your writing journey.
Sure. Right now I have two boys. My oldest is Christopher. He's going to be 11 in August, and my baby's 5. I live in Philadelphia, but my roots stem all the way down to Montgomery, Alabama. Right now, I currently work for the Department of Veteran Affairs, so when I'm not writing, I'm serving the vets. I salute all the armed forces out there. I have a wonderful family. I love to line dance, all my line dances out there, and I'm also a member of Beta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated, and the Order of Eastern Star.
Wow. I know you say you love your family, so are you a mom and a wife?
I hopefully will soon to be a wife again. I'm divorced.
You're not the only one. I'm on my second marriage.
So I guess the first one is a learning experience, and hopefully the second one we all get it right. But I was married for 3 years. We were together for 7, and it's so happy it didn't work out, so we divorced in 08. So now I'm trying it again.
Well, congratulations to you, and I would do wish you the best of luck with that. I thank my ex-husband for 2 things. My ex-husband gave me my beautiful daughter, and he is the one that prompted my writing career. So I salute to him.
Really?
You know who you are. Yes, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't start writing books. So I thank him for being that experience in my life that gave me a reason to write. So
now, I
he was good for
that.
Something.
I can. Well, yes, I did receive my children, what I have won from my marriage. But I guess on the flip side of yours, I was already writing.
Oh.
But with him, I guess the limelight or me always being out was a problem, so I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So when we divorced, that gave me the motivation to kind of say, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
So he sort of kind of gave me that desire and that push to be like, okay, you know what? I mean, he was very supportive, don't get me wrong, but the limelight and different things that come along with this life was not what he wanted for our family.
Wow.
Upon his exit, I just took off and haven't stopped since.
And that's a great thing. What's meant for you is going to be for you, and
exactly.
Nobody can stop that. So we're glad you're here and doing what you do. I love the literary world, as they say. It's my thing now, so I love to hang out and chat with authors, and that's why I love doing the show, because it's like I beam, because they know how I feel. If anybody can relate, they can relate.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the joy in writing, because you're always going to find somebody who's going to pick up your book and relate to something in it. So you will never feel alone in this world. You may write alone, but once somebody reads your book, you're always going to have somebody day to day tell you how much they love your book, or that, you know, that second page was for them, or can they speak to you further. So it always kind of brings you more friendship. So, you know, we can kind of unite together.
Right. So when I understand that you have been writing probably forever. And that's a good thing. A lot of people, when I meet people, say, I've been writing since I was 4. I was like, really? Because my writing thing didn't start until I was 28. So it's like I never thought about that I could write a book. I wasn't even thinking about writing a book. So
exactly.
Since you've been writing all of your life, what made you sit down and say, okay, I commit myself to write a story and I'm going to publish it? Or were you writing with no intention on publishing? How did the publishing for Ms. Monet come about?
The publishing actually was stumbled upon after my divorce, because I never actually wrote to be published. I had a dream of eventually becoming published, because my dad used to always say, if you're going to write like this, start making money for it.
Right.
So it was like, okay, you have a point there. But my writing originally came about because I was not someone who was able to really vent or talk freely about my feelings or emotions or whatever it was that I was going through. So I use my pen and paper to kind of speak to others, to either kind of get feedback to help me or someone to read it and then look at me and give me a hug. So it was a way of me communicating with people without me having to verbalize it.
Right. And you know what's so funny about writers? I'm telling you, and you know when you come across a writer, if they're the type of person that will leave you like 10-page letters to say one thing, mm-hmm. you're like, look, if you can't sum it up in two paragraphs, that means you are a writer. Because I can start writing something and keep going on and on and on and
exactly.
on. So that's the difference between writers and non-writers, because normally writers, they journal a lot because they have a lot
yeah.
to say.
Yes, exactly. Because I caught myself driving, and I'll get a thought. And I will be literally driving my car, not at a red light or green, nothing. I will be driving, riding on the steering wheel.
Wow. What you need to invest in, sister, like I did, my phone, I finally realized that there's a record button, and I'll talk to myself
that.
All the way.
Yes, I found that. So now everything gets speak on it, because mine's on my phone and say speak on it. So I push that, and I just start talking, and it types it for me.
Yeah, thank God.
Safest thing possible.
Exactly. Now, before we get into your published novel, My Side of the Story,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to touch a little bit on living, laughing, and loving my way through, and we're going to talk about in a few moments about your stage play. Congratulations on that. I was like, stage
Thanks.
Play? Hey. Yeah,
yeah,
so
I know. That's what I said.
Well, we do have a couple people that's in the queue that's waiting to speak, and I want to let all the listeners that's online, you will get an opportunity to speak and hang out and talk to Miss Monet, but we're going to get into a little bit more information about her and her stories first. So hang tight. I do see you guys. I'm not ignoring anyone. So just don't hang up. Just give us a moment to get some other grounds covered, because you might hear something that you might have an additional question to. So we want to make sure we talk, spend time a little bit with the author first before we take any calls. Now, the first your first release was actually My Side of the Story. Is that correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so the title alone. How did that concept come? Did you write the book first, or did the title come first?
Actually, the book is my journey from a child to an adult. The story, the title actually came from just me just rereading it and kind of getting the common ground of what I was trying to say. And since a lot of the things that I was writing about was, you know, experiences that I went through or different things that I witnessed, it was like, hey, there's two sides or three sides to every story. So this is my side of the story. And that's how that title actually came about. But it was like days before I got the title, because I wanted like inseparable differences. And I wanted something like catchy for the readers, but it was like, okay, people like drama, people like issues, people like something that seems to be scandalous, so My Side of the Story. So that's how that title came about.
So we're going to go in between the pages of My Side of the Story. Is it a novel-based book format, or is it like more so a self-help? How is the book format? Is it a fictional story that has true events? How's the book actually, like what genre, well, I'm going to ask you a couple questions in one. What genre would you actually put that book in?
Okay, it's actually a book of poetry and definitely mm-hmm. self-help or inspirational. Because through every poem, there is a lesson taught and a lesson learned. So definitely would be inspirational, self-help. Because you can walk away from each poem either learning something about, per se, me, or learning something about yourself in any given situation that you may be going through.
Okay, now, with that said, would have been a book of poetry, and we know this book is about life. Is
mm-hmm.
there any erotic-type things going on in there?
Not.
I just want to get some scoop. What's going on between the pages of these poems, you know? Do you get, because I know when I'm not a poetry writer, but I have read some poetry books where some Some poems in the book are inspirational. Some poems in the book are talking directly to you because it's like that author can see inside your soul. And some get a little freaky.
Exactly. My side of the story, no. Live Me, Love Me, Laughing, yes. I do get a little out there on this book because this book is my more of a happier book. But my side of the story talks more on the heartbreaks. Like, it talks more on the storm that a person has to go through. So we're dealing with love or, you know, a guy cheats on you and you're ready to retaliate. All you see is red and it's revenge. So I have some in there where I'm, like, just drawing a black ray to go to jail. Then I have some where, no, I mean, I'm going there, but in a story format of pretty much telling you different events that led up to where I am today. So it was almost like a sequence between both books, but the first book is more or less telling you what I went through, the heartbreak, to talk maybe some poems about my divorce, some poems about my children. I have some in there as a child where I used to question a lot of times why my father left, so I would have some poems in there like, why did dad leave? Mom, why'd you let him go? So, I mean, it's different emotions. It's different things. It's not like on one particular topic, but it's like kind of scattered. But as you read it, you can kind of piece it like, okay, here she was lost. Here she was maybe confused. Here she was trying to find love or trying to figure out what love meant. Here it didn't teach her very well because now she's by herself again, and now she's starting over. So it's a story within a story but within poems.
Right, and it is. Is it chronologically ordered? Does it take you from the youth to the adult in that order, or you have it goes in just different? Is it chronological or not? Like, is it based on from youth on up, or some poems based on when you're youth and go back to an adult? How is it chronological?
No, actually, it's based on experiences. Like, I have one of my topics is experience is the best teacher. So every poem in that section would be based on how experience taught me rather than people telling me.
Right.
And then I have another section where dreams do come true. So those are all of my poems where I'm speaking on me being a dreamer and hoping for the best. And now it's finally coming through because I'm writing this book. And then I have another section called Heartbreak is a Bitter Pill to Swallow. Those are my little angry sections because now I'm just mad. So it's just more or less based on emotion rather than taking you from the 12-year-old child who started writing to 25 is when I stopped writing this book.
Okay. So before we get to Living, Laughing, and Loving My Way through, we're going to go ahead and open up some lines and take some calls and make sure the person is listening in, whether they have a question or they just want to make a comment or they just listening in. So I'm going to call out your area code and the prefix. So I'm going to start with area code 215-268. If you can hear me, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Ordy, and I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, how are you? Welcome on to the show.
Pardon me?
I said hello and how are you? Welcome on to the show.
Thank you. I'm doing just fine. I'm at work. I'm not supposed to be on my phone. But
oh.
I could pass up Ms. Renee.
So did you have a question or a comment for our guest tonight?
Yes. I just want to know what inspired you. You know what I mean? What made you begin to write poetry?
As a child or growing up, my teacher, Dr. Dark, used to always, in music, she would give us poetry books because she said poetry was a missing genre. So by being introduced to poetry and Maya Angelou, and we used to always have to memorize Langston Hughes. So the different poems or different things that were said in those poems along with Sonia Sanchez, I just drew to that because it was almost like music, and I'm a big fan of music. So if I could write and also write stanzas or lyrics that I could also sing, it was, like, great for me. So by me doing that, it was like, okay, wow, I'm going to write poetry. And then when we would do different lessons in the class, instead of me writing a paragraph, I would write my paragraph in stanzas.
Wow.
So just by being introduced to those, it was like something I just kept.
Okay, okay. So I'm looking forward to seeing your play.
So definitely hang on the line, because we're going to get to the play in a little while, and she's going to give us some inside and some of the inside track on her play and things like that. So if you can, I know you're at work, but if you can continue to listen in, please do, okay?
I certainly will.
All right, and I will keep in mind, I usually open up the lines at the end of the show in case Ms. Monet says something that you might have another question on. So if you can hang on, just hang on. All righty?
I certainly will.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go open up the area code 267-475. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Kenyatta.
Hi, Kenyatta.
How are you?
I'm great, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the beautiful city of Philadelphia.
Everybody's in Philly. Well, thank you so much for calling in. How are you tonight?
I can't complain. It could always be worse, right?
That's true. So did you have a question or a comment for Ms. Monet?
I really just have a comment for her. I'm a very big supporter of Ms. Sharon Monet. And I'm just very proud of her. She makes my heart smile. It's definitely good to see the type of things that she's doing, and I know her as a person as well as a humanitarian. And a lot of people that come out of Philadelphia, a lot of people that are reaching and climbing the ladders that she's climbing, they forget to give back. In Philadelphia, some people in Philadelphia are good for that. So Philly doesn't really support their own. So when I see her do things like the charity funds and the other things that she does to give back to her community, it makes my heart smile because now she's going above and beyond. And for that, I just want to say thank you, Ms. Monet, because you make the difference between being the average star and going above being a star. And I see great things for you. So I'm very proud of you, and thank you for representing Philadelphia the way that it's supposed to be represented.
Wow, thank you so much.
Thank God, Kenyatta. Hey. Hey, Kenyatta, you mean Google Anna Black, too, because I want you to come on the show and thank me one time. That was beautiful.
I'm also an up-and-coming artist, and believe it or not, Ms. Monet supports a lot of the work that I do, so that gave me the opportunity to get more involved with what she does. So, and actually, a lot of my music and a lot of some of the contacts that I've gotten in contact has been, you know, she wears more than one hat. So to know her, you know, and see the things that she do, it's easy to testify to some of the great things that she's done. It's like I said, especially for Philadelphia. So, you know, I'm very proud of her. I'm very proud of her.
Well, can y'all put your name out there? We on air. You can go ahead and give yourself a shout. What type of music do you do? Go ahead. Why you got the airtime, baby?
As much as I would like to, believe it or not, I want to give Ms. Monet her moment. This is about her. But if she wants to shout me out at the end of the show, or if I get the opportunity to, because I'll ride out throughout the whole show, then I'll come back and I'll do it. But I just want the focus to stay on her because she deserves the spotlight.
It will, but let me tell you what we do at AAMPC. We celebrate Black our people doing anything that's positive, and we respect all the arts. So
yes, ma'am.
Definitely at the end of the show, you can give your website and all that good stuff, so make sure you hang on too, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. Well, we're going to get back to my lovely guest, Ms. Sharon Monet. Now, we're going to move on to your second poetry book, which is, the follow-up to your first one. Tell us a little bit about that one, since you said now this one is completely different vibe. So tell us about the vibe of this one.
This one here is the title, basically. From my side of the story now, like back then, I was pretty much living for what other people wanted me to live for. So this book, I'm finally doing everything for me. It's about me now. It's all about making me happy. It's all about pleasing Sharon. It's just totally about me. And now that I'm finally able, with a smile, to live and laugh and love, it's a great feeling. So this book kind of touches on just that, me learning how to live in my own destiny and walk in my own destiny without, you know, holding or hearing other people say you're not going to make it or it's a waste of time or nobody reads books, so don't write. Stress, I was one big person who would hold stress, and I suffered too, a heart attack. So laughing now is my cure of pain or getting over things. Yes, I'm still on medication, but before I try to cry or get that upset to where I'm crying, I'm laughing. And then loving is just trying to find love again, just learning how to love me and be at peace with me. If I don't love me, there's no one else going to love me. So this book just touches on all of those, and then also my victory of saying that I made it. So this book is a little bit more, it's a lot to smile about. Some people have already purchased the book, and I've already received a lot of, this is my favorite, that's my favorite, oh my God, this book is way better than my father's story, because now I can laugh and not cry. So it's great, but this book here is like my victory statement. It's just like, wow, I made it through all of that, and everything else. Life wasn't bad, but, you know, we go through hard things, and sometimes we look at it like, wow, that was really detrimental for me, even though it's like it's not that bad, get over it. But this book here is like my true final testimony that I made it. So this is a happier book. I like it.
Now, before we move over to the play, because I'm dying to hear about the stage play, I have a couple, generic questions. And it's more so for those listeners out there that's aspiring to become published or to get their work out there. And I also wanted to comment on, I have more callers in the queue. When you call in, you have to press 1 to speak to the host. If you do not, I'm not going to see that you want to speak, so I probably won't open up your line. So if you did not press the number to speak with the host, I'm not going to open your line. So if you want to speak and I did not open your line before, you have to hang up and call back in and make sure you press, I believe, option 1 to speak with the host. That way I can recognize you. Now, questions about your writing career. When you decided to publish, what route did you take? Did you go the mainstream route? Did you self-publish? Do you print on demand? What route did you take to get your books in print?
Actually, I went through Yolanda Brown. When I first started thinking of publishing, I did send my manuscript to traditional publishing companies. And a lot of them turned me down, unfortunately. So then I sent my book over to Yolanda Brown of Purposeful Publishing in St. Louis. And she actually printed my book and published my book for me, and I'm still with her. We started working together in 2010 with my first book, and now we're on my second book in 2012.
Wow, that's awesome. And the reason why we asked, because being with an indigo company, what we call a small publishing house, is an indigo publishing house, and they are great because I'm with one myself under Delphine with Miss Tamika Newhouse, and it's a more of a family oriented, and it's a one-on-one base. You're not just lost in the literary crowd with your publisher. You get to talk to them on the phone whenever you want to, email them, text them, or whatever. So I like the indigo rap. And in the future, I do plan to self-publish, but those who's out there who have a manuscript you know is good, you don't have to wait for rejection after rejection. There's a lot of different options for you to publish. Those who want to look into self-publishing, go online, do the research. It's not that difficult. You can, if so many authors of today are doing it, seem like that's the way to go, you can definitely do it. So, and also, Miss Monet is an example. Being with an indigo company is not an awful thing because her book is out there. She has a terrific cover. I may add, on my side of the story, I like that cover. It's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, and my next question, too, for those who are listening in that may want to consider becoming published, or when they become published, they're like, okay, now what do I do now? what methods do you use to promote yourself? I know, like, coming on the show, for one, to hang out with me, but what other methods or advice that you would give those up-and-coming authors on how to promote? Because just because you know, people have a misconception, I published a book and now I'm rich, not so much.
Not the case. It may get you there, but you're not going to get that mansion overnight or them Bentleys. It's not going to happen. But one of the things that I do, I definitely drive my Facebook and my Twitter fans. I do a lot of book signing. I love getting out there because a lot of times people like to put the author to the book. So hosting a book signing has worked great for me. I actually just came back home from St. Louis. I had flew out there with my publisher, Yolanda Brown, and had two signings. I felt like a celebrity because it was one from 1 to 4, then hopped in a car, and next one from 5 to 7:30. It's like, okay, this is too fast-paced. I'm just an author. I'm not a singer. But it was great. So I love to do book signings. As for me being a poet, I can always hit up a coffee house or a poetry event, go say a couple of my poems. I got books on hand. So just mainly for me, I love to get out there, but if I can't necessarily get out there because of, you know, my job or being a mommy, then I will be up on Facebook and Twitter all day. And then I just hired a PR rep, Tiffany, or Miss Mocha out of Chicago, and she's been great. So if you can't necessarily do it all yourself, then you can also, you know, maybe get someone to help you, or if everything is moving in a good direction, maybe you can hire a PR to get you where you necessarily can't go. Because some media wants you to have an agent or a PR. They don't want to talk directly to the author. Because that was like a big roadblock for me. Because I could sell my book. I'm like, I'm the only one that can really sell you my story. But because I wasn't an agent or a PR, they wouldn't talk to me. So that was something that I invested in book two. But in book one, I was out and about, Facebook, again, Twitter, at different events here in Philly. If someone was having an event, I was hopping on planes, like, oh, really? I'm going there. So I just took the route of, like, really going out there. I could sell my book, so that means me and my book needed to be out in the streets.
Oh, wow. So now, with this publishing of poetry, which was your thing, how did the transition happen with you getting into screenplay writing? I mean, How did that miraculously move from poetry to screenplay?
I know. All over the place. That's what happened. I love Tyler Perry. So I own every movie and play that Tyler Perry has. Because when I was going through my situations, Tyler Perry is what I watched in order to learn how to forgive, or knowing that just because this person did you wrong, the next person may not, or learning how to get over. So after hearing a lot of different things from my book or different comments from my book, I started thinking to myself, okay, if Tyler Perry can do this, and I'm pretty much helping Tyler Perry get rich, then let me sit down and see if I can do this for myself.
Right.
So I just sit down. I'm really all over the place. I am. I don't know why. It's like until I really get my desire fed, I'm going to fish. So I sent out a couple emails and inboxes on Facebook to people that I knew who were playwrights or who had production companies. And some people turned me down and was like, oh, yeah, your story, we've heard it before. Okay. No problem. So, and I think it was last year, maybe the summer of last year, I contacted Tiffany Nicole of Pink Star Entertainment here in Philly and kind of gave her a synopsis of what was going on. And I didn't even write the script yet. Like, this is just me thinking to see if someone would be interested in my idea. I had no script. All I had was my side of the story. That was it. So, sat down, met with her, gave her my ideas, and she loved it. So, she gave me her yes before we left that meeting. So at that point, I'm like, you know what? If she didn't have to think about this, then maybe this is something that I need to do.
Right.
So all I did was take some of the poems out of the book, attach with my life experiences and different things that I went through, watch Tyler Perry to kind of get an idea of how to actually write it down in character. And I wrote the script in 2 weeks.
Wow. Wow.
Exactly.
So what is the title? Are you able to release the title yet and give us the concept or the I guess, the synopsis of what's going on in this play?
Sure. The title of the play is called Living Your Life. The synopsis of this play is actually anything in life that you desire to do, what are you willing to do, pretty much. Because we always say in order for you to make it, or in order for you to be successful, you're going to have to lose something, whether it's friends, whether it's a job, but you're going to have to give up in order to climb that ladder. So I kind of use that as my basis for the play, but in the play I have a woman, which somewhat is me, who has to decide between her dreams of becoming a published poet or her husband, because her husband is solely against it. Like, he's a district attorney, and he's like very proud, very prestige, and, you know, poetry is like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to have that type of work done in my house. Whereas for her, it's always been a dream for her. But because he didn't like it and didn't approve of it, she hid it. But now she's tired of hiding, because now she feels as though she's tired of living in his shadow. She's tired of doing things for him. She's tired of making things happy for him when she's not happy herself. So this play is more or less her trying to find her happiness, decide if she's going to keep her marriage or become who she's always wanted to become, and that's a published poet.
All right. Yeah, it's like, it's decision time. Do I sacrifice my life, myself, and my ambitions and all the things that I desire to make somebody else happy? That is a hard pill to swallow, because I love my husband, but I have to love me first, because I'm no good if I'm damaged. If my brain can't function right and I'm unhappy, I'm definitely not going to be able to make somebody else happy.
Exactly, and that's some of the things that she's going through, because even when she's trying to act like she's in love with him, she still brings up her poetry, and he still shuts it down. So
wow. She
decides on what it is that she has to do. And it's funny, because when I started advertising that synopsis on my page, that's the same reaction I got. Like, why would he even tell her no? Like, they were getting mad at Craig, which is the lead guy character. They were getting mad at Craig, like, he did something to them. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is getting good. Because if you can relate to that situation, because I know when I watch TV, I'll really get angry at a character if I disagree with what they're doing. And
right. That's
the reaction that I would receive. And it was like, okay, tell whoever's going to play the lead that she better take herself over him. And I'm like, okay, well, come to the play and see what she decides.
What'd you say? Okie dokie.
Okay, make sure you come to the play and see who she chooses. But you'd be surprised how many people are in that situation. I mean, they're married, they have children, they're where they think they should be because that's what they want, but then deep down inside, they're not happy because they're not 100% fulfilled with everything that they want to do. Because
right,
before
they're making
that marriage,
sacrifices for everybody else
exactly,
but themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. So in this play, I kind of bring that out. Like, you know, I know you're married. I know you may have kids. And sometimes you have to put yourself on the back burner. However, you don't have to stay there.
Yeah.
Or if you're choosing different relationships, choose someone that is willing to work with you, support you, guide you. Because if you do eventually want to blossom into you, because even though you're one and married, you're still yourself at the end of the day. So
right. You
kind of have to either find the balance or make a better decision when you're choosing your mate or yourself.
Right. I heard that. So is this play, I know it's scheduled to come out in September of 2012.
Yes.
Is the play so far just going to take place in Philadelphia, or do you have plans to take it on the road, or am I asking a little too early?
Actually, no, we've actually started receiving some role places to take it. I have some people in Chicago that are interested, Atlanta. I got an email on Facebook from Memphis, definitely New York, because the director, Walter DeShields, he does a lot of work in New York. So some people are familiar with his work. So once we get done the play runs here from September 26th through September 30th, if everything works well, then we will be either heading south or north within maybe a week or two.
Wow. Oh, wow. So, I'm just thrilled. I'm happy for you. I'm very excited for you. Very, very excited for you. And I wish you so much blessing, not so much luck. I don't believe in luck. I know everything that we acquire, everything that we have is through the goodness of Christ. So
exactly.
I just wish you a blessed journey, all the things that you're trying to do. And with that said, I would like to know, besides poetry and stage play, what do you enjoy reading, or what other genre, if you had the opportunity to write, what other genres would you may say you want to write? And then when you do read, what genres do you enjoy reading?
Okay. I love self-help. I am a big Ayanna Rezant fan. I love her so much. And I have, like, all of her books, too. And I will still pick up her book and read it. So I love a lot of books like that, self-help. And then I also, a lot of times, I'll dabble in urban lit because my mom is a fanatic. She has, like, maybe 3 shelves of urban lit library, her urban lit library. So I will dibble-dabble with some of those books. I enjoy reading Quan. I love Wydea Clark. I did read Harlem Girl Lost by Treasure Blue. So I kind of dibble-dabble, but my heart really a lot of times is in self-help.
All
or
right,
inspirational.
Right.
I love inspirational. Because the more I'm inspired, the more I can be a blessing or a testimony for someone else. So I always kind of look at things to uplift. Not saying that urbanly don't, because I am strictly, you know, I love it. Some of the stuff in those books I can relate to, too, growing up in North Philly. So I can relate to that, but I just love a lot of the inspirational because that it helps me with my writing.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I'm a buff now because I do reviews for AANBC, so I have the opportunity to cross the line. I'm not on one side of the fence anymore. At first, I'm a romance writer, so I'm a romance reader. I've always been like a romance, you know, addict. So now I have the opportunity to explore different genres, and I'm. Like the street lit, I'm kind of getting into it now because I used to be like, I don't want to read that crap, you know.
Exactly.
But no offense to nobody, but it's like when you set on what you like, it's what you like. And I slept on a lot of books before because I felt like I wouldn't enjoy them. And I think the first semi-street lit book I read was by Michael McGrew called My Kind of Girl. And that book was so dang gone good. So I'm like, okay, I want more.
And some of them are great. Like Terry Woods, when I did her True to the Game. And I read it like years after it came out. But I was acting like it was new. And everybody's looking at me like, Sharon, you're late. I'm like, okay, well, can we have a book club meeting on this book? Because I need to talk about it some more. Like, so I mean, some of it is like, wow, really? Like, I read this book called Assassin. The girl in that book was. Like, I actually learned how to be a little bit more vengeful, which I don't really need any more help, but it was like, wow, really? She did all of that? Who could think of writing stories like she was really vicious if you get a chance to read a fast one. That girl, and it was a girl. It was her by herself. She tore up the whole city. Like, I was just thinking, like, who has a mind to sit and write stuff like this? But then again,
but
I look at
the
Steven
same,
Spielberg.
But you
can,
I would say the same way I would think about poetry. I have written a few poems in my day, trust me, but I would never get on nobody's open mic or even put it in print.
Yeah. And that's how it was with those. Like, wow, they have a gift. Okay, so I'm going to go back and start writing what I like. But for the moment, you know, to get away from the whole, because sometimes reading inspirational, it's like, okay, girl, get over it. It's done. Because now I'm sort of kind of over my journey. So it's like when you keep reading it, it's like, girl, wake up. Like, I'm woke.
Right.
What else do you want me to do? So I will start dibble-dabbling in other genres, but I will find myself going to the street lit a little bit because my mom is just, if you could see her wall, it'd be like, okay, do you have anything else? And I think she has kept most of all of the street lit authors in business. Because she, when they come out with a new book, she has it. So, yes, my mother really enjoys it.
Well, I just, it's amazing. Every time I get on an interview with any author, especially someone that's new to me, because I have repeat guests. And I have people, I have a lot of author friends that I know that, you know, through events, traveling so much, you meet so many artists. So when people like so-and-so, like Miss Wahida Clark, I'm like, oh, I know her. Oh, I know him. So
exactly.
when you do travel a lot and you go to all these book events, you end up getting acquainted with a lot of authors, and they are great. And I, like I say, I love to be around authors because we have the same topic to talk about, and that is writing.
Exactly.
So, definitely love Arthur. So what's next for you besides the play? Will we be expecting anything before September, or do you have something lined up after the play? Are you working on any other projects right now?
Right now, no. I just have the new book actually releases Friday, which I'm kind of excited because that's my birthday too, but now I'm a little jealous because it's like, as people want to be interested in buying my book or saying happy birthday to me. And I love birthdays, and I don't like anybody taking this attention away from me. But the book is released on Friday. I do have a couple book signings coming up. I did get a couple emails that people want me to come to Richmond, Virginia, which I'm going to definitely try to do because my sister's right there in Woodbridge. So I may scoop at her, you know, sleep at her house and then keep traveling down. And then I also have a person who wants me to come over in Camden and host a signing as well as a performance by Kenyatta, the person that had called in. So we're trying to work that out as well. So right now, more or less, it's just promoting the book. And then right now, we get ready to start production on the play. Cast and call start July 9th, and then rehearsals start in September. So I have that. And, oh, I will be in Chicago. I don't know if anybody's interested in Chicago, but I will be in Chicago.
That's where I'm from, baby. That's my hometown. Southside, born and raised. Yes, ma'am.
Come home September 23rd because I will be at the Black Writer Space Jazz and Poetry event, which is hosted by Full Force. So I'm truly excited because now I get to touch mics with legends. So that's truly, truly, truly an honor. So I will be there September 23rd. The tickets are $15. If you're on Facebook, you can check on my page. The flyer's on my page, Sharon Monet, or Miss Mocha's page as well. And then after that, I have the play, and then in November, I will be sitting down to maybe discuss how this play is going to become a movie. So watch out for that.
Oh, definitely. Well, the show is almost coming to an end. We only have a few minutes left. Before we go, I'm going to open up the lines again and speak to our guests and make sure they don't have any other questions before we close out. And after that, we're going to go ahead and get your contact information, you know, your website, your Facebook, and all these things. So those who want to contact you in the future or hit you up with questions, they can. But I'm going to go ahead and open up the line for 215-268 again. The sister from Philly that's at work that's not supposed to be on the phone. Did you have any more questions for Ms. Monet?
Yes, Ms. Monet, I just want to say, you know, I am really, really, truly proud of you. As Kenyatta said earlier, you know, I am blessed that you are giving back to Philadelphia. Also want to put out there that Ms. Monet is not only just a blessed soul with a kind heart, she's also going to be my publisher. But also, I just love her, man. Her spirit is, like, so wild, wild in a good sense, you know, that you inspire me in a whole lot of different ways. Plus, as old as I am, I'm getting ready to go back to school, and that's a blessing, too, you know. So I'm just really, really proud of you. I'm looking forward to a whole lot of things that I know you're going to be putting on the ground, you know, and just continue to work hard just because we need that.
Thank you.
And what's your name again, ma'am?
Audrey.
Audrey? Now, Audrey, you make
yes,
sure
please.
Once you do get published and get out there and you're ready to promote, make sure you hit me up, too, so you can come on to the show. Then it'll be you that I'm sitting and chatting with. And Ms. Monet can call in and give her comments.
Exactly. I certainly will. I have your phone number locked in my phone.
All righty. Thank you so, so much for joining us tonight and giving some support to Ms. Monet. And we hope to have you on the show soon. So good luck. Good blessing with your project as well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. Lastly, I'm going to open up Mr. Kenyatta's line because everybody else kind of, I guess they got tired of being on hold or waiting.
Oh.
A couple people hung up, but it's okay. We had a great show, so I'm not mad. Mr. Kenyatta, you are on air. Go ahead and give your final words or your questions, and you can give out your website and everything, too, if you would like.
Okay. Hello, everybody, once again. If you're not familiar with my work, when you look up Ms. Sharon Monet, I did the theme song for the play, which is called Living Your Life as well. So you can hear my music there. You can also, if you purchase her book, you can also hear my song, Living, Loving, Laughing My Way Through, which is the theme for her book. So I've worked with her. You can find me on Facebook at Illadelph, which is my stage name, Illadelph, Illadelph, Philly, which is my Facebook page, and you can find me on Twitter, Illadelph, once again, Illadelph 2012. And my webpage, I Am Illadelph, is coming up, will be up Sunday, IamIlladelph.com. Ms. Monet, once again, thank you for everything. Thank you for how you're repping our city, how you are being an example of what a black woman should be like, nothing negative or anything, but everything positive. And we are so grateful to call you our own, and to see the things that you are doing, and you are definitely an example, and you make my heart smile. So keep doing great things.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kenyatta. Thank you for joining us and hanging out with us this entire hour. I know you do music, but always I'm on Facebook also under Authors Anna Black, and I do a lot of promoting on my page, so if you ever want to tag me in something, feel free. Now you have something coming up, I don't mind promoting, so just look me up on Facebook as well.
Yes, ma'am, I sure will.
All righty. Now, Ms. Monet, finally, you can give out your contact information so we can close out the show. And I'm about to definitely be in contact with you, girl, because I want to transition to some stage playwriting, so I need some help. I ain't gonna front and laugh. If you know somebody that knows somebody, hey.
I'm all about networking and support. And somebody helped me, so I'm going to help other people. That's my message. Be a blessing.
And I'm so proud of you because you're doing it big in such a short time. And to be looking into taking on new authors, it's a great thing. And I salute you for that because that's my goal at the end of this year. I'm going to come out with a couple books under myself first, and then 2013, that summer, I'm going to be looking to get some authors out there too. So congratulations on that, and many blessings to you for that avenue.
Thank you.
But finally, give us your contact information, your website, your Twitter, your Facebook, wherever people can contact you at.
Sure. My email address is Sharon, Sharron, period, Monet, Monaye, @gmail.com. My website is www.sharonmonet.com. My Facebook is Sharon Monet, and my Twitter is Miss Monet, and that's MZ as in zebra, Monet, Monaye. Or if you have an Android phone, all you got to do is click in Sharon Monet and even upload my app. And I normally update that weekly of any events or, we get ready to do casting calls. Or sometimes I'll put stuff on the app that will not be on Facebook. So,
And, you know, speaking of casting calls, I have a guy that I want to email you about. His name is Steve Austin. He's actually in the Baltimore, Maryland area, I believe. I think he's in Baltimore. No, D.C. D.C. He's
down D.C.
Yeah, he just made his debut in another play this year, and he's also on the cover of my book. So I would definitely link you with him for that casting call because he played in a production called Coveted. So
okay.
That's somebody I want to put in your ear. You know,
definitely.
He's
bring him on.
Yeah, I will definitely pass information on to him so I know that you are doing casting calls soon. But we are out of time. We have to go ahead and end the show. But I will ask you, Ms. Monet, to please join us again whenever you have a new project out, any literary topics you want to discuss or come back on the show and talk about. We are here. Just have Tiffany to reach out to me, and we'll do our best to get you back on. Thank you so much for joining me tonight and taking time out of your schedule to hang out on a Wednesday night. Not the most.
Thank
girl,
you.
My
I'm
work
not
schedule
doing
is so my work this schedule is so hectic now.
Oh wow!
I went from working part time to full time now. So I'm still, and it's been going on for like 2 months, and I'm still trying to juggle. So
oh wow,
yeah,
it's hard. It's definitely hard. But stay in there, and I have your email. And I did friend you on Twitter. Your Facebook is to the limit, so I couldn't get you on Facebook.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's going to change. Over the weekend, I plan to some of the non-factors, and I'm sorry, people I don't really
know
about you.
I know that's right.
Got to go.
I know that's right. Okay, well, when you clear the floor, then Sharon Monet, so we can definitely keep in touch so we can get this screen play up. Because it's
alrighty.
The industry, and, I mean, even though I love books, but I'm really enjoying the screenplay, so I definitely will help you with that and get you up and running.
Thank you so much. Well, we're going to close out with my favorite, Mr. CeeLo and Melanie Fiona, Food for You. We should be back here next Wednesday. We don't have anything coming up Monday, but we will be back next Wednesday. So to everybody, have a blessed and safe weekend. And always, 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 never take no for an answer. It's always a way. There's never a problem that there's not a solution for. So keep your head up, hang in there, and go for yours. So on that note, I will say good night. And finally, thank again my guest, Ms. Monet. Hopefully we'll be talking to her again soon. For everybody else, until we see you again next Wednesday, have a safe and blessed weekend. Good night.